Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello and welcome to West Coast Bias. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm here with my good friend, Jamal Artis. How you doing, Jamal?
How's it going, Jake? Doing good.
I'm doing good, man. It's a Monday.
It's a Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving week. You're off tonight, which is nice. You got to come over. Yep. Like that. It's good to see you. You better get out of here in the next, 2 hours, or else you're going to get jacked for curfew. So I guess we might as well be, efficient with this, quick with this. I don't know if this will get incorporated into the What's Brewing show, part one or part two, if there will be a part one or part two, or if it'll just be standalone. But we've been producing quite a bit of content recently, whether it's the WCB show or the WBS show or the W2, whatever. And it's been fun. Yeah, it's nice to it's funny. I don't know how you feel, but once we got through the basketball and baseball season, it did feel like, wow, there's like there's a little bit of a vacuum of not like everything all at once.
Right.
But still we're being kept plenty busy with football, and it's fine because the pace of football is, it's even though there's football on most nights, the teams we care about
are weekly.
Yeah, are weekly.
Right.
And so you can really kind of recharge your batteries a little bit, and obviously we really sink our teeth into the football games.
Of course.
More so individually.
But it's funny just because we thought to ourselves, well, our team's won championships. This is it. Well, there's going to be like, what are we going to talk about after that? How are we going to get content out there? And then boom, it's just like.
Well, yeah, the NBA did us a huge favor, right?
Right. And they were like, you guys are back in a couple of weeks.
It's unbelievable because, like, correct if I'm wrong, but like training camp opens like next week, right?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Right.
And it's awesome.
In a month, we're talking about opening weekend or opening day or whatever it's called.
With all these new faces, a few go out, a few come in, and the Lakers win free agency, apparently. I guess we'll deal with that. I think you can make a very strong argument for it. All the stuff I've been listening and reading to over the last 24, 48 hours in our text thread is awesome. It's just one exclamation point after another.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
It is.
So, So go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like we should give Rob Pelinka a lot of credit what we discussed because he went from Fredo to Michael Corleone in like 60 seconds.
Oh my God. And like I said, and gosh, we all love Magic. We're our favorite Lakers of all time. But holy crap, that was his stint as GM was way more Magic Johnson show than Showtime.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God. I can't believe the difference, right?
Right.
Oh boy. So So the Lakers now, they just won the championship. LeBron and AD and the rest of the company. Who notably has left? Let's talk about the guys who left first.
Well, even today, the Lakers said thank you to Rajon Rondo.
Rajon, where did Rajon go?
Rajon Rondo signed a 2-year contract with the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, and I think that's what I had heard other than the clip. So on our scale of, I think all these guys, wherever they go, were like, good luck to you, right? Happy trails.
Correct.
But thanks for not going to Clippers. That's kind of what I'm thinking, right? That's
been
every one of these things.
Pretty much.
Happy trails. Thanks for not going to the Clippers.
Right.
So, yeah, Rondo was definitely possibly going over there, and he didn't. And he goes to the East Coast, which is awesome.
Right. That's something we said last week.
Yeah, to a team that's pretty much irrelevant to the Lakers.
Just a young team.
Yeah.
Trying to get better.
Just, I know we've said this before, but still Rondo. Probably, other than Ron Artest, the one player I've had a bigger 180 on than anybody, I think, ever.
I would say the same.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And so now that won't be tarnished. Right. So just go to Atlanta.
No, wait. I'm sorry. There's somebody who I had to have a bigger 180
on. Who was your 180?
Dwight, who also.
Yeah, Dwight. Yeah.
that was more of a like.
Yeah. And I never had the super strong feelings towards him, but I totally see how that he's he's like, that's like the triumvirate, right?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So Rondo goes, Dwight, speaking of.
Right.
In Dwight-like fashion. Tweets him Stan, and then immediately goes to Philly.
Philly, yeah.
Which is insane. I didn't read the story. Did you see the story about how that kind of played out, like why he tweeted that and then reneged?
I believe...
I think Chris Haynes had a story.
Because things were ongoing, he thought that, and this is what I remember, he thought that his agent had him going back.
The done deal.
Right, but then Philly upped the amount that, because it's only a 1 year contract. So Philly upped the amount, and so then he decided that that they were going
to
go there.
And because I want my feelings for Dwight Howard to remain positive, I'm going to choose to believe that story, and I don't begrudge him at all. Right?
Well, no.
What I don't want to hear is, is that the Lakers didn't ever offer him, or which they may have ran out of.
No, my understanding was they were keen on bringing him back in the same role, but it was just a money thing.
Yeah.
It's just they couldn't afford to give him more.
When
you looked at the final number, they couldn't afford to give him. It was $5.6 million, and they wanted to give him around $3.7 million. And he just took the more money, which is fine.
Ooh, the Rams just got a giant strip. Oh, that's definitely a
fan. They got stripped?
No, they killed Tom Brady.
Oh.
Oh, man. I wish I wouldn't have given up that defensive fantasy.
The Rams
looking pretty good, yeah.
Oh yeah, their defense looked better
just because they got Aaron Donald. Yeah, I'm sorry, I digress. But Dwight goes to the East Coast,
right?
You know, Philly may be a contender. That might be something they, you know, possibly might reckon with when you talk about coming out.
And you know, he might his minutes might go up just because Embiid is always a health risk, and they're always they're always looking at limiting his minutes in terms of to sustain his season, basically.
And talking about Embiid, I mean, Embiid and Howard certainly is a formidable, if you go Twin Tower mode,
And Daryl Morey is the new GM there. Daryl Morey is the one who signed him to the Rockets, you know, so there's some ties there.
Yeah, it's funny. Daryl Morey in Houston, get rid of all my centers. Daryl Morey goes to Philly, and all of a sudden he's like, give me all the bigs.
Give me all the bigs.
That guy, he definitely.
He saw the bubble playoffs, and he was like, you know what? I need big guys.
Yeah. this didn't work after broke Houston. Yeah.
Right. So then the next guy, I guess we could say to go, and this is leaving on his own.
Dwight, you will be missed.
Right.
Rajon, you will be missed.
And then it's Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley.
Right. So again, I'm
trying to remember what he looks like, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Avery Bradley hasn't worn a Laker uniform since April. So this is kind of like, not even April, what am I saying? March.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like one of those situations where you haven't seen him since March. Technically, we could pretend the season ended in June like it always did, and it's just the beginning of the fall and he's going somewhere else, you know, that kind of situation.
Or you treat him like separate seasons and he was a Laker
right
last, you know, 2 years ago,
right,
and he wasn't a Laker last year,
right,
and now, you know, there he goes,
right,
you know. And really, you know, you look at how they played in the playoffs, and it's like, I think he would have been good coming back.
Right.
He was valuable during the regular season.
Yes, he was a starter during the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
but
bench gets stronger, but it, you know, different circumstances.
And where did he go?
Gosh, I want to say Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Because right,
because,
but
because I saw someone mention that you know, he was sitting at home watching the bubble playoffs.
Oh no, he went to the Heat.
Oh, he went to the Heat. Yeah. Sorry, that makes more sense. He was at home watching the playoffs and decided that he would help the Heat overcome the Lakers instead of returning for another championship, I guess.
There you go.
That was a joke I saw on Twitter.
But once again, East Coast.
Right.
Happy trails.
Exactly.
You will be missed.
And actually, for our quartet, our Mount Rushmore of thank you very much, see you later, you're going to the East Coast. The Lakers actually traded JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Who's actually a two-time, two-season Laker like Rondo. They traded JaVale McGee to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that was more of a money thing. They wanted to get some more money so that they could sign somebody we will be discussing.
Yeah, and also maybe just to clear out some really tall guys.
Right.
So you can bring in some other really tall guys.
Which exactly.
Which, by the way, love JaVale. I always liked him when he wasn't a Laker.
Right.
You know, but having him here on the Lakers, he was always kind of a fun, kind of a little bit goofy.
High energy kind of guy.
High energy, you know, right. but like I always, you know, even though, you know, some of the Laker Twitter would be getting on him for whatever his contributions were or weren't, I always like watching him play. But then again, I'm partial to big guys.
Because there were times where he'd go through these moments where it seemed like he was unstoppable. Pick and roll with Avery Bradley. You know, nobody can stop that.
And even if he only played like 5 or 6 minutes, he pretty much started almost, 90% of the games from last year.
He started every game, actually, even in the playoffs.
Not into the playoffs. There was a couple of games.
He started all the way through to the playoffs until kind of towards the end
midway
of the Denver series.
Denver,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So he started almost all the games till the very end.
Right.
And it seemed like when he was out there, even if he only gave you 5 minutes, he'd probably have, you know, 3-4 dunks, yeah, you know, stuff like that.
5 rebounds, yeah, you know, a couple blocks, yeah.
So, yeah. So, JaVale, you will be missed.
So, thank you to him.
Happy trails.
And that was a Mount Rushmore of who went out.
Yeah, along with Danny Green, who got traded before we were talking about.
Right, which is something we talked about last week. The trade did go through because there was a draft after we did the show.
And that's the Danny's the only one they traded in conference.
Yes, because he went to OKC. But
he was part of a deal, right?
Right. He ended up getting traded to Philadelphia.
Yeah. So it's like five for five. Yeah. All you guys go to the East. Right. East. This is the best offseason departures.
Right. Is almost all of them went to the East Coast. All of them ended up going to the East Coast. And then nobody ended up with the Celtics. That was the other thing that everybody loved from Laker Twitter. It's like the Celtics didn't get any better through free agency. So
the other guy, they waived Quinn Cook.
And Quinn Cook got waived, but I don't think he's been picked up yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, he may still come back at some point, right?
Right. There's always a chance that he could be somebody they pick back up off waivers. That's happened before. But that might mean him having to go to the G League. I don't know how that works out or what they're going to finish off with the roster, because they do still need a point guard for depth and maybe one more wing player. But I guess we could talk about who they did sign through free agency.
Please do.
So just these are the guys that they brought in from the team. Obviously, we mentioned last week Dennis Schroeder. He led the NBA in scoring off the bench. This was the Danny Green trade last year, 18.9 points. He shot career highs in field goal percentage, 46.9, and from three-point percentage, 38.5, and he ended up being second in Sixth Man of the Year voting. He's definitely going to be a bench scorer again this year. Don't look for him to start. So he's not replacing Danny Green, but you know, his numbers are good enough to replace Danny Green because he shot better than him in both field goal percentage and 3-point percentage. And you know, I could see him being just a change of pace guy coming off the bench, giving, because that was one of the complaints, especially towards the end. It seemed like the bench really struggled to help out the team. And that's where you would see situations where, like, when the Lakers would lose, you know, LeBron and AD would both have, like, 35-point games, but, like, the bench would only contribute, like, 11 points or something.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have that. There wasn't enough depth for them to win those games. So then the other guy they brought in, and that was what set off bells and made some surprising you know, just notion for the team, is that they brought Montrezl Harrell over from the Clippers. He literally just had to walk across the hall.
And that's like a double whammy. That's awesome.
Right, exactly. And he was the Sixth Man of the Year. So I joked that after those two transactions that I thought, you know, whoever was third might be the guy that they pick him next. Harrell was maligned in his Clipper end because he was seen as a problem because he couldn't handle Jokic of the Nuggets. And that was one of the reasons that they lost that series after being up 3-1. You know, people obviously forgot about the pitiful performances by Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in Game 7.
Yeah, he kind of was a scapegoat there.
Right, yeah. And so, but I think he's going to be great. I mean, you're talking about another guy who can come off the bench. He can provide, even if he's not the best defender, he can provide some defense. I don't understand why people are freaking out. Maybe one-on-one when Jokic wasn't good enough, but with the Lakers, you don't really need that. Because one, you'll have Anthony Davis. I think he'll do well playing next to him. Or you'll have, you know, somebody like LeBron. You know, there's just like, the possibilities because of his athleticism and his youth are great. I mean, they're both under 26, you know, before their next couple transactions. Really only LeBron was over 30 after everything settled out.
Yeah.
So having guys like Schroeder and Harrell just made them younger and stronger and more athletic, actually, which is surprising because the Lakers were one of the most athletic teams in the NBA last year. If you looked at their defensive rating, they were second. You know, the one statistic that you look at is the point differential, and they were, I believe, third in that. So both of those guys bodes well.
Well, and I think, you know, with Harrell, it's like, yeah, do you want him playing center against Jokic?
He's 6'7".
Jokic, but no. But he won't ever have to because the Lakers will never do that. Because they have the guys to go toe-to-toe with the big guys, and they have the guys now to, like, their small team is, like, insane at this point, right?
Exactly.
It's like, it's unreal.
So then next was announced, it was Wesley Matthews, who was coming from the Milwaukee Bucks, his 12th season. A wing guy who can really shoot the three. So again, something I advocated last week was hopefully they bring in a wing guy, and Wesley Matthews certainly fits the bill. And he's also, they didn't have to pay him a lot. It's only a year for like $2 million. So that gave him more options.
In getting Harrell too, they didn't have to overpay as well.
Exactly, because I think that was only a 2-year contract, and I think it's for $9 million a year. So they didn't have to overpay for that. And then before the night was over, they had, because of the trade to Cleveland, sending McGee, bringing back the contracts of Bell and I want to say Alphonso McKinney, they were able to use the cap space to sign Paul Gasol's brother, Marc Gasol. I don't know why I'm blanking on the first name, but yeah. Marc Gasol, who's a veteran center, won a championship with the Toronto Raptors a couple years ago. And kind of a full circle kind of thing, where he was drafted by the Lakers, but then his rights were sent to the Grizzlies for his brother.
That's the first thing I thought of when,
right.
when I heard about this. I'm like, that's awesome. Full circle, baby.
Right.
You know, and...
Another competent center.
Oh, God. A really good center, right?
Right.
He's much different than JaVale and Dwight, but, I think it's a pretty good trade-off when talking about taking out JaVale McGee, and as far as, like, your big guys go, taking out JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard and making it Montrezl Harrell and Powell. Marc Gasol.
Right.
Because I love Powell. And by the way, maybe as your last man on the bench... It might be Pau Gasol, right? Because that rumor's out there too.
Right, exactly.
If that happens, I'm going to be
that'll be awesome. Even if they just sign him for a year or whatever.
Yeah. Just right off into the sunset year. Play with his brother. I mean, that'd be so cool.
And retire his jersey all at the same time. Yeah. It would be awesome. Yeah. Those were the big transactions that they made. It's quite amazing. We were just talking. Like I said, I mean, Pelinka really did. They knew what they wanted, and they got, and they even. I'm sorry, one more guy they brought back is Markieff Morris.
Which is awesome.
That's awesome because I thought he did really well in the bubble, sort of as a fill-in. He can play backup center. He's one of those small guys who can play backup center because he's got that sort of raw mentality when it comes to playing defense. He can also play power forward. He can shoot the three. He shot the best out of all the Lakers in the bubble, 46% from three, something ridiculous like that.
Well, especially when you compare it in a very petty way,
right.
like all of our petty Clipper takes,
right.
to how much they paid his brother
right,
versus
exactly.
how much the Lakers got him and how much they produced over the postseason. It's
right, like exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so they got him for a mid-level extension. So that means that they still have enough to probably go out there and get somebody else, like I said, maybe another wing, another point guard, just for depth to shore up the lineup. I know that I had hoped that maybe one more big man could have come in. That was Boogie, but Boogie decided to go to, Chicago, Boogie Cousins. So it that's fine. But they still have enough room to bring in somebody. They don't have to have a full 15-man roster. They can just leave it at 14. But somebody asked me, how do you think they did? And it's, they got better, faster, stronger, if that's possible. Like Kanye said, it's because they got younger. Even with guys like Gasol,
did you talk about them re-signing KCP?
Oh yeah, and they re-signed KCP. Well, I guess that was a big transaction. That was their biggest transaction.
Yeah, is fine.
Yeah, $13 million, 3 years. It's deserved.
Yeah,
KCP has shown that he even though he was much maligned at the beginning of the season, he's shown how much he improved. He was integral to their defense. If you look at that final game against Miami, he and Caruso were all over the place, harassing the perimeter shooters for the Heat. And he shot well. Over the year, he shot better from three-point percentage, that he became reliable to the point where he was one of those crunch time guys, that you needed. One of the criticisms of Vogel in game 5 that they lost close to, why wasn't KCP out there instead of Danny Green?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Or no, he was there at the end, or why weren't they looking for him? That kind of thing. the Lakers are younger than they were last year. The bench is better, and yet they still get to roll out there with Anthony Davis and LeBron James a year after, or, you know, after winning the championship. I mean, they're in a position where realistically they could be back-to-back champions, or at least for sure they're one of the contenders for a championship, barring anything disastrous, as we always say. But
yeah,
you know, a fully healthy team on paper, they are much better than they were last year, and it's amazing that we have competent ownership. We discussed that last week, for them to competent ownership, competent front office, and sort of now knowing what they want to do every year and it working out for them.
No, it's awesome. And then just in the last couple hours, I don't know if you saw, they also got Jordan Bell, Alphonso McKinney.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned that was part of the trade for Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. Duh.
But I don't know if those guys they're going to keep them, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
they have options. They can waive them for more money short more cap space.
Yeah. And obviously those are like end of the bench sort of moves.
Right.
But that, you know, this whole thing, it's like, it's been pretty much nothing but good news, especially when you weigh the fact that all the guys that left went to the East Coast.
Right.
You weighed against the fact that, the Clippers, who made the big splash last free agency, and you figure are going to be the biggest rival for the Lakers in the West Coast or in the Western Conference, didn't really make a splash. You know, they got Serge Ibaka.
That was probably their best acquisition.
For sure, right? But it's still like, okay, fine. I thought that the Lakers going toe-to-toe with the Clippers, like they'd come out on top last year anyway. And now, but that was a take that, like, you definitely could argue against it.
Right.
And every time you played the Clippers, like, you were very nervous about how that game was going to go. And certainly everybody, once the Clippers got eliminated because they choked, everybody breathed a real sigh of relief. Coming to this year, I'm going to this year, like really kind of felt about the Lakers in 2001 coming off of their first title.
Right.
And it's like, they're going to have to do something to lose, because I don't know if anybody can beat them. You know?
It's going
to
be very difficult for me. I mean, obviously, it's unusual circumstances because the season's starting so soon.
Yeah. And we don't know how that's going to play out.
Right. But we know that there's going to be times where they're going to have to rest their guys so that they're healthy for the summer. But I don't see who, barring something else. You know, there's always a trade deadline thing in February. I don't see who could beat the Lakers in seven games.
Yeah, and then, by the way, more luck, right? Houston exploded.
Right.
Golden State, you know, even though we love Klay Thompson, they're out of contention now as well,
right,
most likely. You know, who are the other powerhouses out
you
there?
You
right?
just have to it's see just, if Denver can run it back, although they lost guys that, you know, they lost guys like Jeremy Grant and Batum, Will Batum, so who knows if those guys would have helped them be better this year, because I remember Will Batum wasn't there for the bubble. So they can't run that back. Utah is, they shored up keeping Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert will still be there, but they blew a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets too. It's very hard for me to see who's going to be the team in the West who can dethrone them, except the Clippers. But, you know, they're also incorporating a new coach, new system, so we'll have to see just how good they will be this year. And they'll deal with their own bubble stuff, too. I mean, we all know Kawhi Leonard doesn't like to play big minutes during the regular season, so we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, and that's not going to work for them again.
Right.
Right. They can't come out and be all, like, softy-softy, and then, because there's so much pressure on them right now, because both those guys are going into a year where they can walk.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I wouldn't be surprised if you got a big effort from the Clippers, and they were, like, a good regular season team, but still, it's like, to me, the Clippers are the only team that really can challenge the Lakers in the West when you look at, the Nuggets were awesome last year, but I think part of that was the Clippers failings, not the Nuggets, because you saw once it got down to it, Nuggets couldn't handle the Lakers.
Right.
And the Lakers are better now. So so it's like,
that's kind of
the thing. They are the prohibitive favorites. I don't think there's anybody about it. Bill, what do you think? Lakers prohibitive favorites now with all the stuff that happened?
I don't know if they're done yet. I think Kuzma's gone. I think they're just waiting on
Kuzma. Yeah,
they even got Kuzma. We haven't even said.
They could trade.
Talked about Caruso, by the way. He's still on the team.
Well, he'll stay on the team.
No, I know, but it's like, you're right. Yeah. But if they don't trade him, Kuzma's could be pretty darn good.
I think
good.
He's gone. I
but,
really think
but
that
even
guy's
if they,
gone.
But what I'm saying, you're
but
right,
have to have a deal.
It's a commodity.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a chip they have. But I mean,
yes, and if he and look, yeah. Here's the thing: the chip goes up in value if Kuzma plays well at the beginning, you know, the first part of the season.
Yeah.
Midway through the season, they could put him package him together with somebody else to put another amazing piece there.
Yeah, Bill, very good point, and that's something we didn't even get to with all of the signs we talked about. So things are looking good for the Lake Show. You know?
Yes,
and my my high school buddy, oh yeah, he's texting me the news about the other signing. Yes, absolutely, yeah. He's always hitting me with the Lakers. What's your favorite Laker? So NBA sort of meme over this time that we've seen.
Oh, my favorite definitely the billboards.
The billboard, right?
Yeah,
Bill, what do you think of the billboard? The FU Clippers or whatever.
Yeah, with Montrezl Harrell.
He's not letting me.
Yeah,
can you call him real quick?
Grizzly. Yeah, he says fuck you.
He owns now. He owns a garage now. You're up, Bill.
There you go.
I'm manhandle him.
No,
it's fine.
I'm trying to be gentle with your dog.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sure you are.
Kind of sorry about that, but we're trying to deal with our logistical problems in the room of a dog, of a big giant 110-pound dog. Yeah, my favorite was definitely the billboard thing.
Yeah, but it's the gift that keeps on coming because the memes were from, you know, it started with LeBron and Anthony Davis holding the trophy underneath the lights versus spotlights, and like, you know, it's a gift that keeps on coming. They're never gonna live those down. And then like with Montrezl Harrell, they put him up there.
Was that a real
No.
I was like, that would be
the greatest thing ever, though.
Because someone could probably do it for a day. Someone could pay enough money to pay someone to put it for a day. That'd be awesome.
But it's the one that keeps on giving, and until they win a title, it's going to be the one they keep using probably. So definitely the Clippers billboard memes and all their iterations.
Beautiful stuff. Well, I mean, we're going to have NBA to talk about like
soon.
every week going forward. So this is beautiful.
We might be here watching opening night again, just like last year.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then maybe eventually I can actually go to a Laker game again. And Jamal, I might take you with me.
I might.
Not you, Bill.
No, it's all good. I'm getting that vaccine
though.
So.
But you need to get us tickets again.
Yeah,
last time, I think, no, not the last time I went to a Laker game, but within the last five times with the Laker game, I went with Bill, not Bill going with me.
That's right.
You got some sweet tickets.
I did. I got some amazing tickets. Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is good. We got, it's all happy times in Lakerland. Hopefully it stays that way. No whammies, no injuries, and beautiful, beautiful thing. So until next time, Jamal, what do we say?
We're the West Coast. We're the best coast. We're West Coast bias.
West Coast is the best coast, but I'm told.